what does it give to the man? Matthew 24, verse 38 to verse 9. It reads, "For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were all aware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man."
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here with everybody on this roadside. That's very good. I want to welcome all our visitors here today. We've got our baby with us, and Mel, Jim, Kim and Michelle. They're from Bentonville in Arkansas. So if you leave the church about a year or so ago, I said I've lost all the support, and but we just kept going, and I know that we were praying, and this congregation in Bentonville took us under their wing, and they said, "No problem, we'll sort that out." And so by God's grace, they blessed us with the funds that we needed to sustain us while we do our ministry here. And so we were thrilled that they took time out to come and see us. I want to mention David as well, because right at the beginning of the ministry in Leicester, when we very first began, David was at our side here in Leicester with his wife at that time. Sadly, his wife Ruth passed away. However, David, you know, a legacy lives on here without any question. The two of them were two of the most incredible people you could ever meet. And David continues on, continuing on doing God's work and doing a great work in Bentonville, in Arkansas, not only that, but also supporting ministry globally. But his heart is here because he, you know, right at the beginning between us, we were sharing the preaching and teaching and song leading, and it was quite a challenge in those days, but you know, what a blessing. To see this congregation thriving and growing through God and through the individuals here. You know, I give all the glory to God, but I also understand the fact that the ministry here is done by the church together as a body, and that is a tremendous blessing. So we want to thank you for being here, but also on behalf of the congregation, we want to thank you for your support and encouragement with the ministry here. And certainly we'd like you to take that back to Bentonville with you when you return, God willing. So, today is Daniel and Bethany's last Lord's Day with us for 2 years, God willing, again, because we don't know what God's plan is. We don't even know what we're going to see tomorrow. But I'm delighted that they're here today, that we can have this fellowship together today, to commune and break bread around the table together. And you know, God has so many amazing things going on, so many plans, and we don't know what he's got planned for each and every one of us, but we can be sure of this. If we seek to find what he wants, if we look for those doors, look for those opportunities, go and follow them. Prayerfully follow them, and you'll see what God can do in your life. One of the things that came to mind this morning in the Bible study was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders and the religious leaders. And whenever they saw Jesus in their presence, the one thing they didn't do is recognize who he was. They never acknowledged him as the Savior. They never acknowledged him as the Son of God, even though Jesus made it clear he was the Son of God. I am. He was the Son of God. The Bible talks about how the Word became flesh and came down upon this earth. And that Jesus there, in our midst, on this earth, walking this land, stood on this planet physically in order that he might bring salvation to each one of us. Now, one of the things that I'm learning, and I've begun to learn over my life, is this. That God shows up in the most incredible ways. In the most incredible ways. And I want to talked for a short time this morning about how God shows up. Now, as a Christian, of course, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He resides within us, so we receive that gift. So, of course, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, that, of course, is one. God is with us. God is with us. But I want to say this, that there are times in our lives where I suddenly realize that God shows up in the most unlikeliest of situations, because what happens is sometimes we forget he's there. And so because we forget he's there when things are going wrong, he seems to show up, but in fact, he was already there. But in our eyes, he's just showed up. It's like we're just seeing him. It's like we've just experienced something from him. I can tell you as a young child, growing up as a teenager, I wandered away from the church. I was nowhere near the church. Doing worldly things. I was in places I shouldn't be. I was hanging out with people that I shouldn't have hung out with. I was drinking and smoking and doing all kinds of crazy things. Involved in all the world. And it was ironic that when I look back and see how God showed up in my life as a teenager. How, when I was in places that I knew I shouldn't be, I knew. Why do you think I knew? Because God showed up in my life to say, you shouldn't be here. I recall a time when I was in a situation and I was walking down a road and I was a young man and I got a cigarette in my hand and a sister from the church was walking the other way and she shouted at me and said, we don't do that. And my goodness, did he show up that day? And so many things in our life where we experience God showing up. I remember coming back to Christ, coming to where I should be. I wouldn't say coming back to Christ, I would say coming to Christ. And I remember that day, and Brother Gary said this morning, he asked the question, do you remember the day when you gave your life to Christ? I can recall that. And I remember how he showed up in my life and suddenly started to change things. I remember the day I met my wife. God showed up there. He found me a good wife. Faithful wife, a wife who would stand by me in my life, stand by me in my ministry. You know, while I'm studying, she would go and work in dog food factories and work nights and bring the children up in the day. God showed up. I remember studying at the Bible school, ironically, the other day as I collected Bethany and Daniel from their house, they stood outside their house with two suitcases, and Daniel said, We're homeless. Everything had gone. All the furniture had gone. All the things that they had gone. The car had gone. Everything had gone. They stood with two bags. I said, we're homeless. And Dan was over the moon about it. That was wonderful. Because we're going to start a new chapter in our life. And I can kind of recall that. Though I didn't go over to America, I still recall giving up my house and standing there with a suitcase, and we didn't even know what the house was like that we was getting, but it was going to be a rented property in on a council estate in Corby. We didn't know what it was going to get. But I remember that God showed up in my life, and I remember that he was there, and he was strengthening and guiding me, and I know there are many others here who have had the same experiences. I remember 3 years we went into Yorkshire, and it turned out I was going to be doing some ministry with, and I was going to be mentored by another preacher who left the church, so when I got there I was on my own, and I also had no income. And there was just one brother there that was trying to help as much as he could. So for 3 years we had no income. And I remember that God kept showing up. And I remember we left there and our house was not worth as much as we paid for it. And so we ended up £35,000 in debt. And I remember the 6 years studying and learning and all these debts accumulating. And I remember leaving there thinking, my goodness me, will God show up? He helped us pay everything. He helped us find a job. He helped me find a way to carry on with ministries and pay these things off. Carrying out our ministries and then arriving here in the city of Weston with David and Ruth and Sabine and Janet and so many more. Sister Laverne, so many more. And we came together and I remember that God was there. And let me tell you, brethren, today when I look, I see God here through the tremendous people. The tremendous people. This room is full of people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all different things. I remember bringing up seven children. I needed God there for that. He was there. Thinking about bereavement, you know, we lost a grandchild just a few years ago. All kinds of bereavements going on, all kinds of struggles going on. I've watched some of my children go through difficult times, depression and anxiety, and all kinds of things. But God was always there, even now in Janet's health. You ever see Janet's health, she's lost all her hair, and she feels, you know, unwell, but she's spiritually strong, but God is still there. And this is what I want to say is this, that God always showed up in 40 years of my ministry as an evangelist and ministry working. God has never failed. And that is great. And that's the encouragement that I want to give you, and certainly with Bethany and Daniel as well. You know, in Zephaniah, in the Old Testament, Zephaniah 3, verse 17, the Lord God, he says, the Lord your God in your midst. I love that. Notice that. It says, the Lord your God in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. You see, God is in your life. God is there in your life. He's in your midst. He's a part of us. And certainly as Christians, as we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we become a Christian, God is in our life. God is a part of us. So everything that we do in his kingdom is done with him guiding us and watching over us and protecting us in this life, in this walk that we are on. And so, I want you to see God in your life. I want you to see God in your midst. I want you to understand. We talk about times trusting in God, putting faith in God. Know that God is there. But do you really see him? Or are we like the Pharisees where he stands before us? You see, one of the things about Jesus, when Jesus was on this earth, he had no physical attraction. He had nothing that was appealing about him. In fact, we've been studying in our class in the midweek about the kings, and one of the things that came out was that when the people were looking, when the people wanted a king like all the other nations, God gave them a handsome king. He gave them a tall king, a handsome king, stood out in the crowd. And everything that we see in the examples there is that people, what God did was he gave them what they appealed for. He gave them what they desired. He gave them what they wanted at that time. But knowing that there would be consequences, knowing that there would be things that would cause problems for them in their world and in their life. Now, in our Christian life, of course, what we have to understand is this. God had nothing that was physically appealing or attractive about him. Jesus didn't have anything on this earth like that. What is appealing about him is the amazing story, the amazing love, and the faithful love that he has for each one of us. And he, our God, is in your midst. See him. See him. The Israelites, when they were leaving captivity, what did they do? They kept forgetting him. They kept failing to see him. When they were in need, they could see him. When they weren't in desperate need, they forgot. And sometimes we can be people who can look at him in a way where it's something that we look to when we're in need. It's something where when I've got a problem, I'm going to pray to him and pray for help and pray for guidance. But when things are going well, I'm okay. And I don't need to talk to him and I don't need to pray to him today.
Sometimes we find at our lowest points, we open our Bibles and start to read them, but on our highest points, we don't. And so we need to smother ourselves with the power of God. We need to smother ourselves with the Word of God. Consume your life with Him and see Him in your life. See His beauty in His creation. See His beauty in your life and everything that we have. Everything that He has blessed us with. In our reading, for as the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And picture this as your life. You know, everything's just going well. Just going about your life and doing all the things that you love to do. Don't sin and engross your life in the world. Marriage and giving into marriage and eating and drinking and all the things that were going on until they entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took their Lord away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, what happens in life is this. We get so consumed sometimes with the world that we don't see God. But the problem is this, that eventually we'll be taken. Our time will be up. Our time will end. Everything that God wants you to be learning and the maturity and the whole life-changing experiences that we should be having as Christians right now. If we are not careful, if we only see God when we need Him, we don't see Him when we don't need Him. The times we don't need Him will be the times that we will be consumed by the world, that everything in the world will take over your life. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. You ask my kids that one. You know, we walk many a holiday on the cliff tops. I can hear them behind me. We're walking along and we're looking at all the ocean and everything. I can hear little voices saying, anyway, now the sermon's coming. Because how can you not see God in this creation that we have? How can we not acknowledge His presence? We appreciate the air that we breathe if somebody suffocates you. Because suddenly you realise that what you take for granted has been taken. We appreciate the food that God gives us when there isn't much of it. Because when there isn't much of it, we suddenly realise that there's something missing. What happens is we take advantage of the blessings of God. And because we take advantage of the blessings of God, these things that are so important in our life, these things that consume our life take over. And suddenly they become more important. In John chapter 1, and verse 10, it talks about this. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. And the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. How unappreciative can we be of a Saviour who has come down to this earth to save each one of us? He was in this world and the world treated Him terribly. The world did not even know Him. He came to who? His own. His own did not receive Him. Imagine that. Imagine being so invisible to the world, as Brother Gary led this morning in Matthew, as we see these false accusers coming, making false accusations and these false statements about a man who was there because he came to his own and they were not willing to see him. It says in the first, in verse 12 of the same chapter, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And it's a recognition. Here was the Son of God rejected. Here was the Son of God turned away by man. It was the Son of God and the people who understood the laws and understood the prophecies, and the Savior stand before them and they couldn't recognize him because he didn't look like a king. He didn't look like David. He didn't look like Saul. He didn't look like these handsome figures. He didn't ride in on a white horse or a chariot with an army behind him. He stood there in robes with sores and hair that was probably messy and dirty. And he was rejected and turned away because men do not see the Savior that stood before them. Isaiah 53 says he was despised and rejected by men. He wasn't worthy. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Imagine that. He was despised and we did not esteem. Imagine having a secret. There's a show on, I've seen it a couple of times, where they had these big companies and the owner of the business goes in disguise to these big companies and he goes to a secret location and he dresses up as one of the members of staff and goes in to see how he is treated. And it was interesting to see how he was treated amongst his own employees who didn't know him. And so he was in his business and he was watching his people and they weren't caring about his business and they weren't looking after his customers and they weren't treating him right. And then at the end of it, he said, "Listen, do you know who I am?" And he reveals himself to his people. Our Savior died for each and every one of us. And we need to understand that the day will come when we will have his presence revealed before us. And he's going to say, "You know what happened about the times when I was hungry and you didn't feed me? You know, when I needed clothing and you didn't clothe me." Jesus was despised and rejected. And the problem is this, brethren, and this is what I want to say, is I want you to recognize not only when he shows up, because not only will he show up for things for you, we may show up by sending people to you. You may have somebody sitting next to you. You may have somebody in your neighborhood. You may have somebody in your community. But God will show up. And he will show up through these people. And the question is, are we going to reject him? Are we going to treat him in the same way as how he was treated? What will it take you to accept him today? Or hiding our faces from him? What would it take you to accept him today? In John 20 verse 24, it talks about Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12. Now, Jesus was dead. He was resurrected. Well, he was resurrected from the grave. He hadn't arisen yet to heaven. And he showed himself to his disciples, his apostles, his disciples. And when he showed himself to his disciples, Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." You can almost see the excitement. And there's this almost jealousy. "No, you're joking. We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Well, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers in the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." I'm not going to believe the presence of our Lord. I'm not going to believe what I hear. I'm going to have to see for myself, and I'm going to have to feel the nails to prove that Jesus is raised from the grave. How many times has he shown up in your life and you have been just like that? Where things have happened in your life and you don't even acknowledge him as the one. Things have gone well in your life, even when things go bad in your life. Maybe those things are going bad in your life for a reason. Maybe God is trying to teach you something. Maybe God is trying to help you to grow up. How many times has He shown up and you haven't believed? I need more evidence than this. And in verse 26, and after 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas this time was with them. And Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And then He said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look my hands. And reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing." This is the request of our Lord, is this. Don't be an unbeliever. Be a believer. Understand who I am. And Thomas said to Him, "My Lord, my God," after he had his own personal request fulfilled. And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You see, every day of my life I wake up and I know. I know that I'm here because of my God. I know that I eat and I have a home to live in because of my God. And I know that everything that He has given me in my life is because of Him. And when I reflect back, I can see all the things that He has done, all those times He has turned up in my life, not only in times of need, but also in times of maybe when I probably thought I didn't need. He still showed up. Jesus is present today for you. He's here for your struggles. You see, whatever you're struggling with today, He's turning up for you. If you're going through depression, if you're going through anxiety, the world today has a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety. Adults, the male, female, strongest people on the planet, and they go through depression and anxiety. And listen, God is here. He's here. And He's here for each one of you. I want to encourage you today that if you're a Christian, if you're a member of the church, I want you to remember this, that He is here for you. And, you know, He's here to help you through. You know, Revelation 2 verse 10 talks about being faithful to the end. We can't do that without Him. We can't do that without Him. And so therefore He is there. Mark 16 says believe, and of course Luke 13 repent. Philippians 2 talks about confessing. And we see there in Acts 2, of course, the baptism, the immersion. You know, we have to hear His word to believe in. I say to you today that God is present and He's waiting for you to respond to Him. He's asking you to hear His voice. In other words, to see Him there. You know, to be able to understand He's there, that belief that we have. That there's nothing in this life greater than the gift that He has to give. Turn your life around. Repentance is turning your life around. It's just going in a different direction. Going in one way, I'll turn around and go in the other. When I was a teenager and I was rebellious, I was going in one way. When my life was to change, I would go the other way. Confess Christ as Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. You see, when my Jesus stands before me, I see Him through these emblems and through the love that He gave to each one of us through His death on the cross. We need to be immersed in water. We need to be baptized. Just there is our baptistry. We're buried. It's a symbolic act, but it's important. We can be baptized in an ocean, we can be baptized in a swimming pool. We can be baptized where there's water. As the Ethiopian eunuch said, here's water, what is to stop me from being baptized? The only thing to stop us from being baptized is ourselves. And so, to come to Christ today will be the greatest thing you could ever do. Hear Him, believe Him. Hear Him and believe Him. Repent and confess and be baptized. And start this walk, this amazing walk to an eternal life with Him. You see, I want to leave you with this, that God showed up. God showed up when He brought His Son to this earth. And He is willing you to come. Let's rise and see the invitation.